Hey, I'm so glad that you're here today with us. We're going to end up a series today on Jesus. We're in part number 7. We were supposed to do this for 3 weeks, but I think we got addicted to Jesus. And so we're on part number 7, and I can't go back. I started to do a recap this morning of all 6 weeks, and I thought, this is not going to happen. Because I love every one of the topics. So I hope that you'll have a chance to go re-listen to the messages because of the content about who Jesus is, what he accomplished for us, how that affected us, and then how we can live in victory and the finished work of the cross. And today, and so if you didn't get to hear those, if you've got a smartphone, all you got to do is get our app, and you can stop by the Connection Center. They can show you how to do it, and you can listen anytime you would like. And so today, we're going to end with this. Jesus is here. Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to refer back to a passage we ended on last week, and we're going to jump in from there. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the right time came, God sent his son, that would be Jesus, born of a woman, subject to the law, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent forth, right here, the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Now let's just stop right there for a minute. If you doubt whether Jesus is here today, this word should confirm to you that he is here. The Spirit of the Son of God is in your heart if you're a believer in Christ. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord, if you've accepted the free gift of God, which is eternal life and forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, then the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself dwells inside of your body. Now, how do you explain that? It's unexplainable. It's beyond human comprehension how the Spirit of Jesus Christ could dwell inside of us. But we all know, those who've been walking with God, we know the reality and the truth and the power that the Spirit of God is inside of us today. And what a place of rejoicing for us that we know that Jesus is here. He did tell his disciples, and I'll get back to it in just a minute in the scripture, but in the book of John, he specifically said to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send you my Spirit. And so let's pick up back in Galatians verse 6. And because we are his children, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you his heir. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, so the Spirit of Christ is inside of us, so Jesus is here. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I want to tell you this, church, you will never, ever, ever be alone. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. Jesus is here, he's living inside of you, and he is taking up residence. And here's the awesome opportunity for all believers, that any moment and any time, you can commune with Jesus. You can fellowship. You can connect with. You can communicate with. You can have a relationship that's alive and active any moment of any day because Jesus is inside of you. We don't have to go to a special place. We don't have to have a special song played or a special prayer prayed. You have Jesus with you at all times. And that is good news. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. It is clear biblically throughout the New Testament that the Holy Spirit dwells or lives or resides inside those who have called upon the name of the Lord and been saved. Now, there's also a very special manifestation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit when we gather as we have today. What does that mean, a manifestation? It means it's not hidden, it's not revealed, it's manifest. It's right here where we can see, touch, hear, feel, and understand. And so according to Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus said this to his disciples, "For where two or three have gathered in my name," check this out, "I am there in their midst." Now I want to ask you a question today. Are there two or three of us here? Are we gathered in the name of Jesus? Then he's here! Yeah. Woo! I'm going to tell you, like Boyce Evans, a famous Baptist evangelist who used to come to my church every summer when I was a kid to hold a revival. Church, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Jesus is here. And if you're a true believer today, knowing that the one who saved you, knowing that the one who sought you out, knowing that the one who loved you endlessly and continues to give you grace is present in this very moment, I'm telling you what, if that doesn't get you juiced up, come and get some prayer this morning. Because Jesus is alive. He rose from the grave. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated hell. He defeated every enemy that would come against you today, and he is here with us. Now, Jesus spoke specifically to his disciples about the Holy Spirit and about the job or function of the Holy Spirit. So here we are in John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, and he's speaking of the Holy Spirit right here, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, I just want to stop right there for a minute. I want you to understand the context. If you're reading through the book of John, this passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples, it precedes his death. He has not yet been crucified, but he's preparing them because they're about to go through the most traumatic, life-changing event that they will ever experience. Their leader, himself Jesus, is about to be arrested, beaten, flogged, publicly humiliated, and hung upon a cross to die and bleed to death and suffocate ultimately on a cross. And so he is preparing them for this most unappealing moment that will come to them where they're going to be a little bit confused, they're going to be a little bit scared, but he wants them to know there is a plan for you. He wants them to know, I'm not going to leave you alone. If you read that whole passage, he says, now I'm here and I'm going to be gone for a little bit and then I'm going to come back and then I'm going to leave again, but it's okay because when I leave the last time, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Now, so we're post all of that. All of that's taking place. But I think it's important when we read the Bible that we try to understand the context. We try to put ourselves inside what was really happening when the words were written. Otherwise, it's just some kind of literary work that's less meaningful. But when you really take a moment and go, what was he saying and who was he saying it to? And then that helps you experience what he was trying to convey. And so, to us today, we know and believe that the Holy Bible, the written word, is still God-inspired, that the Spirit of God still uses this book called the Bible, 66 books, Old Testament and New Testament, and he speaks to us today. So that's why, church, we spend so much time reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, and not only that, trying to apply to our lives what the Bible says. So as you're listening to this, I want to ask you something. How would you apply this passage and today's message to your life? Now let me go back because I've really interrupted this important passage of Scripture with a lot of commentary. John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I'm going to interrupt it again. If you were standing there with Jesus and had given up everything, hey, them following Jesus was a lot different than you and me. They left everything. Here, if you come to Jesus today, you will be celebrated in this fellowship. We'll slap five with you. We'll pat you on the back. We'll pray you into the kingdom. We'll invite you to our house and we'll take you out to lunch. But for them, when they had decided to follow Jesus, they were completely ostracized from their whole family and upbringing. Their whole culture rejected them for following a madman. So they had given everything to follow this Jesus. And when he says, hey guys, I'm going to leave, but it's best for you. They're going, what? Okay, now I'm going to start over in this very important passage of Scripture and see if I can read it all the way through. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then we pick it up in verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me. Who's me? Jesus. For he will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. This passage, especially verse 15, helps us see the perfect unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to understand this about the Spirit according to what we just read. The Spirit of God does not speak of his own initiative. The Spirit of God takes what Jesus has said and done and reveals it to us. We have such an advantage in life now because the Holy Spirit has come to us and he lives inside of us and he is here to continually open our eyes to see Jesus and follow him. Following Jesus is not past tense, it's present and future. Because Jesus is alive and he's still a Lord and Savior to be followed. Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a Christian today, you are a Christian because the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to you. Think with me. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But did you meet Jesus in bodily form? Anybody? Maybe somebody in second service, but nobody in first service. Now, I really want to make an important point here today. Lots of people get a little bit skittish are scared, are uncertain when you start talking about the present work of the Holy Spirit in the church. If you talk about God, we're real good. Everybody in America loves God. In God we trust and all this stuff, and I'm happy to be in all of that. God to be spoken in America is almost benign. Yeah, everybody believes in God. There's got to be a God, unless you're an atheist, but that's not that many people. Most of the rest of us believe in some kind of God. But then you bring it down to Jesus. Now, them's fighting words in America today. You might need to be a maverick if you're going to do that. But for Christians, we don't have any problem with Jesus. We love Jesus. We've given our life to Jesus. We can preach Jesus all day long. But it's very interesting to me that when you bring up the third person of the Godhead, Holy Spirit, people are like, I'm going to check this out. I don't know, they're about to get weird. If you love Jesus today, it's only because the Holy Spirit has revealed him to you. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. The Holy Spirit's not going to make you go into a trance and get out of control. The Holy Spirit is here to enliven your spirit, to make you alive. He's here to instruct you in the path of Christ, and he's here to empower you to do the works of Jesus. So I just had to get that off my chest. Because we need to just get okay with the Holy Spirit, because his job is to disclose to us Jesus. Hey, we're not Harvest Holy Spiritus Christian, Holy Spiritus Fellowship. We're Christian Fellowship. Because we're followers of who? Jesus Christ. So this is proper that we are followers of Jesus. But a proper understanding of how God revealed Jesus to us and continues to show Christ to the world, you have to embrace the present work of the Spirit of God. Now, it might make some of us feel better if we call him the Spirit of the Son, because we like Jesus. But I'm telling you, whatever you call the Spirit of God, if you call him Holy Ghost, if you call him Holy Spirit, if you call him Spirit of the Son, Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of God himself, oh Spirit, come, whatever you say, just get good with the Spirit of God today. Just understand that he's not going to do anything. The Spirit of God does not glorify himself. He reveals to us the Father and the Son. Okay, I'll just go on because I like that stuff. Because I think if we can get okay with the Holy Spirit, then we can begin to flow and move in the present work of Jesus with power, with conviction, with signs and wonders that accompany, as Jesus said would happen. And now, having Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, we have the awesome privilege of allowing Christ in us to shine to the world around us. We can be the light, the city set on a hill that Jesus spoke about. Because why? Because Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit. So what do I do with all of this? Like, okay, you got me excited. Okay, I agree with you. Now, what in the world do I do with the fact that Jesus is present? I believe the book of Colossians gives us a great direction. Colossians 1 verse 27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. Listen to this. So that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. What's the answer? Why does it matter that Jesus is here? Because Jesus still wants to reveal himself to the world. But his chosen way, his most perfect way of revealing himself to the world is you. Say, I am Jesus' preferred method. Man, come on. I am on the A-team, church. I'm on the A-team, right? I'm not sitting the bench. I didn't get picked last. I'm first choice for Jesus. Every one of you. You are on the varsity, and you're starting in this game. And I hope that you get invigorated to go and to shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Just like the Apostle Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And our job is to teach and admonish with wisdom and to hopefully by every power that the Spirit would give us, by every gift that the Spirit would put in us, to present every man complete in Christ. I want you to be complete in Christ today. That's why we teach the Word of God. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we worship. But you're not the only person on our mind today. There's at least 17,000 people in Hale County that need to be presented complete in Christ today. I know it's Mother's Day, and we're focused on each other, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and we should do this. We should honor our mothers. We're in this room, and we're thinking about what Jesus means to me. But I would urge you, even today, to think about them. Because if Christ died for any reason, it was for the lost and broken to be healed and restored. And you are His chosen instrument to shine out the light. Would you stand with me, church? Christ is in you. Now, share Christ with the world around you, that we may present every man and woman and child complete in Christ. Wouldn't it be great if every child born in Hale County was dedicated to the Lord as an infant and raised in the nurture and admonition of Christ? Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony to the world? Oh, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to Mexico. I want to go to Honduras. I want to go to the Middle East. But I want to go to Hale County too. I want to go to Swisher and Lamb and Floyd, Lubbock and Lamesa. That's not a county. Dawson, Lynn. I used to know them all and I forgot all the counties out here. West Texas is rich and ready for Jesus. Why does it matter that we focused on Jesus for 7 weeks so that we can get full and happy? Woo-hoo-hoo. Yes, but your happiness needs to spill over. And I'm telling you today, if you don't get intentional about spilling over, you'll never spill over. So I pray that the Spirit of the Son who's inside of you, that you would fully connect. Live in every blessing that the Spirit of the Son gives to you, but become those who are on fire with passion to love broken people just like the Son did.